Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. You are on the Healing Hour, and I'm your host, Minister Arthur Burgess III. And this is PKN, that is Purpose Kingdom Network. It is PKN, Purpose Kingdom Network, and we are coming to you live from Blog Talk Radio. That is blogtalk.com/Purpose Kingdom. blogtalk.com/Purpose Kingdom, and I am so blessed to be with you. You can call in, ask questions, have comments, concerns, give a testimony, just be a witness to somebody, and we are going to let you do that by dialing 319-527-6091. That is 319-527-6091. Call in. Don't be a stranger. We love our guests. We love our callers. And we love you. So I have a special guest. I have two special guests. One guest been here for a while. She's no longer a guest. She's family. And we are going to get into it. But you know how we do. Before we get to our guests, we have to start with the Word of God. And I want to start with 1 Thessalonians 5, and we're going to read from 11 to 13, and it says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Verse 12 says, then we have to go to verse 12, and verse 12 says, "And beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over ye in the Lord, and admonish ye, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." So today we are honoring those who labor before us. This is National Women's History Month, and I wanted to have some special guests on the show because we really have to honor our mothers, our evangelists, our prophetess, pastors, bishops, whatever office they hold, our women in ministry, because they have been a pillar and a blessing and the bricks of the ministry. And I have just some people who are amazing. But before we get to our guests, you know, the last thing that I have to do is our evangelism tip. Our evangelism tip of the month. And I'm running with this. Guys, normally I talk about apps. I talk about getting a church website or how to give out email blasts or how to do proper outreach with food and medicine. But I want to give the most simplest tip in the world. This is the easiest evangelism tip in the world. I've talked about pamphlets, giving out information. I talked about food drives and pantries. No, this one everybody can do. And that is pick up the phone. Don't text. I want you to pick up the phone. Call somebody. Tell them you love them. Ask them how they're doing. Pray with them. And just make them feel good. You have no idea how important it is to just talk with someone and just share the love of the Lord. That is real evangelism. I know we like to do emails and texts and social media messaging and all these other things, but a real conversation with someone might change a situation. You have no idea what the power of your voice may hold when you just pick up the phone and say, "Hey, I miss you and I love you." All right, so now we can get to our guest. One of our home guest, somebody who's been here for a while, is Elder Cooper. Elder, are you with me?
Of course I am.
Oh, okay, I can't get rid of you. But
I mean, you could.
Nope, I don't want to. You are here forever. You are stuck here.
Oh, Lord.
All right, so our special guest is Evangelist Frazier. How are you?
Hello, hello. God bless, Reverend Burgess.
Oh, man, it is so good to be with you. I've heard so much about you. This is my first time really having a conversation. But when I tell you that Elder Cooper talks about you all the time, I mean all the time, and I know that this is going to be an awesome show. And Evangelist, when we bring a special guest on this show, the first thing we ask all our guests is, what is your testimony? What has God brought you from? Do you mind answering that for us?
Not a problem. Not a problem at all.
Amen.
He's brought me through many things, but I'll just specifically go in from a little girl. I've been in a church all my life, but the church wasn't always in me. And I say that not that I wasn't so outlandish. I haven't been to certain degrees of going out as the prodigal son has. But I know I wasn't adhering to God's voice as I should have. And in doing that, I felt guilt because I could hear his voice. I wasn't obeying everything, but I could hear his voice, and I knew the gift and calling was on my life, and I could still work in spiritual gifts. And I couldn't understand that because, you know, us as if you're a pastor's kid or if you're a church kid and you've been brought up in it, they've taught you, okay, well, you can't be lukewarm, okay? You have to be cold or hot. And I knew I was doing some cold stuff, and I could still hear his voice.
Wow.
And I'm like, what is going on? Why is it that I can still operate in this gift and I know I'm not doing the 100% in which he required me to do?
Wow.
So to say that, I really want to, you know, reach out to those that think, oh, I have to get myself together before I go back into the church house. I have to get myself together before I answer his call. I was so busy trying to get my resume together when all he wanted was a yes from me.
Wow.
That's all he wanted. He wanted a yes, and he could work with the rest. So saying all that, I was singing at a young age. I was singing in my family group. We did not all sing on the same key. So I was not blessed with a musician in my church. So I come from meager beginnings. I come from the church of pot lids, washboards, tambourine with two shingles in it, and a half of maybe a cover. Okay, so that was the form of our music that was in the church. We were coming from like a storefront.
Wow.
And we were earnestly making a joyful noise because that's what it was. It wasn't skillful. It wasn't because we were musically inclined. We raised our voices. We did what we had, and that was that. But then my former pastor, which was my aunt, she sent us out to a woman. Her name was Mary Hayes, Evangelist Mary Hayes, and she sent us around the corner to learn how to sing. And let me tell you, when people are making fun of you and everything, and you get a thick skin, but it's hard to get over that when people
right.
are, you know, talking about you and everything, and you're doing stuff earnestly as a child, you know.
Right.
And that's what you put into, you know, the back of your mind. So we went around there to learn how to sing. Now, she was an instructor. She was a mentor that, I mean, it hurt. It there were some times where we was in the car crying, saying, "We ain't coming back, huh? I got to put up with this." And, you know, we coming into womanhood, 18, 19. You know, I'm almost grown. I ain't got to put up with this. I ain't got to, you know, she's sitting up here yelling at us and all that carrying on. But as time went on, we learned how to pick up each other's notes. We learned a cappella, so if there was no music, we could still sing. So
wow.
we learned how to, you know, hold on that note. And our breakout song was How Excellent.
Oh, come on.
And we went to a joy night, and they called on our church. And, you know, they, you know, once they called on that church, it was like, here we go, you know, the person on the mic, they're going to play with the mics and everything. And, you know, the certain like activities that people do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, honey, when we opened our mouths, soprano was in their proper note. Alto was in their proper note. Tenor was in her proper note. And to hear my assistant pastor say it right now, she said, you could have lift their mouths off the floor. The way,
wow.
I mean, you could have heard a pin drop. They were listening to every note. And, honey, the church went up. And I saw right then and there that all those times where the church mother and my aunt was like, your gift is going to make room for you. And I sat up there like, well, when? When is it going to make room for me? Because right now I couldn't see it. But, you know, even now, my cousins, they live in different states. We came back together for one of their aunt's funerals. And we sang as if we never separated. And that was just truly, you know, that's nobody but God. That's the anointing. You know, nothing can, you know, do that. You know, you sit up there and you look at how does longevity happen and everything. But if you remain steadfast with him, And sometimes people, they even look on me like, how in the world, where does that voice come from? It comes from a source of you have to go through something. And, you
mm-hmm.
know, that's where my, you know, testimony stems from. People were pushing me into preaching and everything, and I couldn't see it. I couldn't. I said, just because I know how to lead devotional service and I can get you, you know, on the edge of your seat, doesn't mean I was called to preach. And,
wow.
you know, and people would say, oh, you have the gift of prophecy on you and this, that, and the other. And I could not see it. I was like, I don't see nothing. And then there were, and then people were coming and, you know, there were, you know, seasoned saints that were coming to me and saying to me, okay, this gift is on you. Be careful, because there are people that will try to grasp at you and want to glean your gift. Not only glean your gift, but they'll want to prostitute your gift.
Right.
They'll use it for their edification. So I'm looking at all this, and I'm trying to be, you know, I'm just trying to be mindful. But one thing I know that I had to do, I had to work the muscle of my prayer life. And that's what kept me. That's what kept my mind. That's what kept me from not going crazy. That's what kept me from not going so far off. Because you can go on a tangent and really not see your way back and don't
right.
know how to get back. You know, and some of us, we come to funerals and our eyes are open. God will take care of the thing that you have made a deity and take it out of your life so you can totally depend on him. And so that's what he has done for me.
Wow.
He's made sure that whatever he does in my life, I can't give the credit to anybody but him, because there's no way I should be living. There's no way that my life should have been spared. Many have been taken off of this earth for less. So I just thank him, like, for sparing my life, for allowing me to see another day. I couldn't go back to work because of certain health issues, and I was wondering, like, well, you know, I'm not a lazy person. Why is this, you know, coming upon me? I've always been one to, you know, do and do and do. I've always done more for others than I did for myself. Even
right.
The church mother was with you. Make time for yourself, sweetheart. You're a mother. You're a mother.
Right.
You have a family to take care of. Make sure you take time for yourself. And it's not being selfish when a mother takes time for themselves. It's not being selfish. Because what do they tell you on the airplane? You have to preserve your air before you can give it to your child. You give it to your child, you'll pass out, and he did by himself.
Right.
So you have to make sure. You have to make sure that you have your substance. You have to make sure that you're doing all that, you know, you can do, and it starts by, you know, even eating right. It starts by even cutting out certain things that, you know, really shouldn't be counted amongst you. You know, we know those things. Self-examination is very important. You don't have to stand into a prayer line to find out what you're doing wrong. There's some of us that know what we're doing wrong and that we need to take those substances, take those things out of our lives, because God is there. He's got all the blessings. First of all, some of us are saying the wrong prayers. We're praying for these things, and those things are already there. The healing is already there. The deliverance is already there. He needs you with one mind to say, okay, I've tried it that way. It's not working. I'm going to do it your way, God. So put me in a place where I don't hear nothing but your voice. Allow me to be still. Allow me to hear your voice. Open up these ear gates. Open up my eye gates. Don't even allow me to watch certain things that would deter, that would distract me from getting to you. And so that's what I had to do. I noticed that some things were being a distraction from me getting closer to him. And the more I got closer to him, the more he could get in tune with my gifts, and I was more in tune, and I was in the right position, I was in the right place to receive what he had for me. And so when he opens up, you know, because it's not a hard thing. He just earnestly wants you to come, just as when you receive the Holy Spirit, he wants you to come with a repenting heart, not just, oh, I'm sorry, and you go back to it next week. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for discipleship. He's looking for true worshipers. And if this epidemic isn't an eye-opener, I don't know what else he has to do. He already cleansed the earth. Just ask Noah. He's already gotten rid of and allowed you to see what the Savior, the purest vessel that was earthly bound, what he had to go through. And you think we're not going to go through? And so when he puts me in that place and in that time, and he just continually be like, okay, you know when God is talking to you, especially those in the ministry, he's like, you know when you have to turn off the TV, you know when you have to turn down your plate, because when certain distractions are coming in and everything's going awry, your kids acting all rambunctious and everything, wait a minute, it's too much confusion around here. It's too much distraction around here. Okay, I have to turn down my plate and I have to get into the Word because there's too many distractions. And that's how he called me closer to him. And I was able, you know, to rise to the occasion where he wants me at. And so that's my testimony.
I could listen to you go and go. I was really just blessed. I was just blessed because you really said a lot and you allowed God to use you. First of all, you talked about turning down your plate and tuning out distractions. We live in a society where, you know, if it's not done quick, if it's not done fast, then we really don't want it done. And God is not going to, you know, he's not going to turn himself up. You're going to have to turn yourself down. And
ooh, I like that. Wait, can you repeat that? I didn't repeat that.
God is not going to turn himself up. You're going to have to turn yourself down. And that's why fasting and praying has been so vital, especially in this time, you know, in the time of this pandemic. You know, we've had to really understand who our Savior really is. I mean, if you did not know the power of God before, you had to experience Him in this pandemic. Otherwise, yes. How are you going to get kept? You know, how were you going to feed your family when you couldn't go to the store? There were so many different things that had to happen. But the only remedy was faith. The only remedy was faith. And we just saw the power of God move in such a troubling time. And this was when you saw the saints pray. This when you saw the fervent prayers of the righteous. This is when you saw the body edifying itself. And honestly, despite all this chaos and all this trouble, this is when you saw the people of God who exemplified real love, who said, I'm going to feed my neighbor. I'm going to make sure those who are homeless have clothing and are provided for. We're going to be what God called the church to do, and that is to evangelize, and that is to witness, and that is to love somebody, not with just our words, but with our deeds. So,
yes.
You know, this time, if you had no idea what God looked like, and this is probably the most important part of it all. We are the representation of Christ. And when we are ambassadors and when we are representation of something, when somebody sees us, they have to know, okay, well, this is what Christ looks like. And if they can't see Christ in us, man, we're doing a bad job. But I thank God that we are just in a place where we get to share, we get to witness, we get to tell somebody that God loves you, that he doesn't want anybody to be hurt. He doesn't want bad things to happen to you. But in this life, there will be trouble. You might have peace, but there will be trouble. But the Word says, fear not, because he has overcome them all. And if he overcame it, you can too. So I just bless God for that testimony. I also heard that you can sing. I'm
yes, Lord.
Talking about I heard
yes, Lord.
That you could we hopefully we can get that by the end of the show. I'm just speaking that out.
You could go ahead and get that now. I mean, listen,
no,
here.
We're going to wait because I have so many
other
questions.
I thought this was talk radio. I thought we were talking.
Listen,
we're having a conversation.
On a radio show and not.
Okay.
At all.
Well, the man said at the end, so that's what we're going to be open
at. At the end, but I've heard. I heard you can sing. Now, I called it the Alicia Cooper family. You know them kids; they special. They are special. And I'm still waiting for that album to come out. She talking about she just gonna let them do it. No, we gonna have to push a little bit. I'm still waiting for the three to get it together, but. And Alicia can sing too. She just I don't know.
I'm a background singer.
Yeah. Okay. And how many times have you preached and started out with a song? Well, you do it every time. That's the trick.
No, I don't.
You start out with a song.
I will go back to in a minute and pull out a pass me not just to save you. And if I pull out a pass me not just to save you, that means I'm nervous and I'm trying to get myself together. If I start singing, I need thee, oh, I need thee.
Oh, wow.
The last time I said the Lord has given me a word that I'm very uncomfortable with. I'll sing that for about 20 minutes and then talk for five. And then go hide somewhere.
But see, I can't.
And as being a witness, if she says, get the car ready because I want to be ready after I finish this, then you know it's about to go down. Things are about to get real.
Where's my security? I mean, I'll talk to a woman and be like, who's taking me home? You might want to go ahead and start the car. Is there a
man
in the entrance or can y'all make a tunnel under the floor?
That is funny. But see, I can't sing. I'm not a singer, so I have to wind up just preaching. So, you know, I'm stuck. I'm stuck regardless. Y'all blessed. I am a shower singer. I am a choir singer. You ain't
well,
gonna get nothing good out of it.
Make a joyful noise. Amen.
Yeah, see,
hey.
It's mostly noise, though.
As long as it's your joyful noise unto the Lord, it's all right.
Can I say something about what you said?
Yes, ma'am.
About reflecting on. How we're so accustomed to the microwave method, we want it right now, and it seems like long suffering has been a word just in biblical tense. But
Amen. What
we need to realize, anything worth having is worth waiting for.
Amen.
And I say that with. Okay, let's just use something modern, a pot of grits.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it says quick grits on it or not. You still want that to simmer. You still want it to soak up as much moisture as possible, number one. And you want it seasoned to a place where when you put it on your plate, you don't need to add anything additional. And that takes time. It takes time even into kneading some when you're doing for yeast rolls. You know, you just can't mix that thing in the KitchenAid and go and bake it. You're going to be very upset at the outcome because it may be good hot. But by the time it gets room temperature, it may be brick hard because you haven't allowed the yeast to do what it's supposed to do, and it takes time in order to do that. When you get a bag of beans from the store, okay, they tell you, okay, soak these beans overnight so they get enough moisture, and then you put them in the pot and put them with whatever meat or whatever seasoning that you want to add to. But there's steps and it takes time. What's happening now is we're having these pop-up ministries. Nobody wants to serve. Nobody wants to go through the proper channels in which it will be able to take you so you won't have so many downfalls. You won't go and be in so many traps and so many pitfalls. Because, see, if you go through the stages of servant, if you go from the bottom level, if you go through cleaning the toilets first, see, you'll know what humbleness is.
Yes.
You'll realize what it is to be humble.
Wow.
But if you miss that part, and now you have a so-called title that you have not earned, that you don't know how to work in. I always tell somebody, oh, what's your title? What's your title? No, watch me work, and you tell me what my title is.
Oh,
just watch me work. You'll know what to call me. Because, see, I wasn't born with evangelist. I wasn't born with missionary or minister. I need you to know that I'm a child of God first. That's what I need you to know.
Amen.
And just as you said, there are some that will not pick up a Bible, will read you first. They'll read you before they pick up a Bible. And you'll start to say, and that's why we have the different interpretations of the word, because, you know, after looking at the King James Version, that can be a discouragement to some. Those that weren't raised in it, you know, that can be very discouraging. They don't know to pick up and go to different Bible stores and get different study Bibles. What they know about Thompson's, they need something that they can grasp onto. Tell me something now. Meet me where I am and give me something that I can take right now.
Amen.
You don't go to a homeless person and start shouting off scripture. First you want to give them something to eat. They're hungry.
Oh,
address the need first.
Amen.
I can't go to a homeless person and say that. You're going to hell with a bullhorn. They don't care. But if you bring the attention, look, here's something, you know, to satisfy and give you nourishment. Here's something to warm you. Here's a warm cup of tea. Now I'm subtle. Okay, now I want to listen to what you have to say because you've addressed my need.
Come on.
So just as you were talking about that microwave mentality, I have to have it now. That's how the devil captivates us in the black community, because it's always that get-rich scheme that gets us, the pyramid scheme that gets us. We the other color has always been able to wait. They build in retirement funds. They build on wealth. Wealth will make sure your children's children is taken care of. Rich takes care of me and mine. What's his name? Chris Rock said it so eloquently. He said, Jack is rich. The man that writes Shaq's check is wealthy.
Right.
We need to be in a different mindset of to want to build wealth. If you're always, you know, you need to always say, okay, I'm going to put this away because, see, I don't know. I don't know what's coming ahead. So I'm going to put this aside And I'm going to have this for that. I'm going to have this for this. Start if you know that bad repetitive habits travel down through generations of your family, the buck should stop somewhere. Let it stop with you.
Right.
Let it stop
right.
with you. Because we know in the word where it tells us, sure.
I just wanted to go to back to something that you said a little bit earlier in when you were talking about humility and being being humble. You know, we have this misconception, especially us with titles, that our job is to be served, not to serve. And even us as women in ministry, some of us women, when we get a title, we forget that we're called. We forget our calling. We forget we're called by God. I've listened and I've heard women preach in the pulpit, and the first thing they'll do is, you know, the Bible says, you know, neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, justifying their call instead of just preaching the word. You know, and as women, because preaching or pastoring and all of that stuff, that's a man dominated field, so to speak. Sometimes when we're called as women, we forget God called us too. You know, all we gotta do is walk in what God called us to do. And even if we get bamboozled or shot down, or, you know, doors ain't opening for us like doors are opening for someone else, we still, all we gotta do is remain humble. The Bible says that He will exalt. He will exalt. When we talk about, you know, you could go through the Bible and you could see all the women throughout the Bible. Some of them, like, for example, one of my favorite characters in the Bible is Rahab. She is one of my favorite characters. She's one of my favorite characters. And people are like, well, why is Rahab one of your favorite characters? Because she's a woman that ended up in a position that she really shouldn't have never had because of what her past said about her. And
Mine
even when they go through the genealogy, if you read the genealogy of Christ, it still mentions her, but they mentioned her as the prostitute or the harlot, however you want the word. But that didn't keep her. That didn't keep her out of the genealogy. That didn't keep her as somebody that Christ would come through her loins or her lineage. You know what I'm saying? Like we as women in ministry, we have to remember, even in that, because a lot of times our past is brought up first. And I know I'm kind of like a little bit far off, but our past is brought up first. What we get a lot of times is brought up first. You know what I mean? Before you see me as a woman or guy, you hear about my reputation. My reputation will precede me. But guess what? If you remember, Rahab's reputation preceded her, but it did not stop her from getting where she was destined to be. Reputation preceded her, but it didn't stop her from where she was supposed to be. Mary Magdalene's reputation preceded her, but it still didn't stop her from being the first person to deliver the message after Christ came out of the tomb. You know, so listen, I'm trying to be quiet now. Let's go ahead. Let y'all talk.
All right, so I love the fact that you brought up. There were so many things that I loved. One, I know you're a church mother, because see, only a mother talks about food and break it down to the word. So I know that you're a church mother, and I know you've been somewhere in the South. See, my family from Georgia. I'm a Georgia boy, so I know. Anytime you bring up a pot of beans and you bring the pot of beans to the word. Oh, you got some Southern roots in you. So I just, you know, I love what you were saying, especially the part about growth. You know, when I came up in the ministry and I told my bishop at the time, and I said, I believe that God has called me to minister. You know, the first thing I was asked to do, my first assignment was the kitchen staff.
Hey!
And people were like, Yeah, I tell my, you know, I've been in ministry since I was 14 years old, and I tell, you know, my new ministers at my church, the new people coming up, I said you don't understand, you know, the best minister started the kitchen staff. I mean, I was the one serving the plates and cleaning up and setting up the food, and I didn't start in the pulpit. I didn't preach till 4 years later. But I was out there witnessing on the street. I was outside. You know, we were passing out food. We were prepping so that we can go out and evangelize. I was doing the ministry of the evangelist first before I even started preaching. My ministry started outside. It didn't start inside of a church. And I had to learn how to be a witness out there before I could ever talk to people inside a building, and it prepared me for now. Evangelism that prepared me for now, because my church now, all we know is evangelism. I can't fathom the idea of ministry without evangelism. And you know, we live in a society, you know, where people like to stay in the house. I don't understand that concept, but I'm not even going to go there. That's not even the point of the show. But God's people are supposed to be out there working. And if we're confined, if we're strapped down by this church ideology, then we are not doing what God called us to do. We're supposed to be fishers of men. How we're fishing, but we still on the boat. We haven't decided to get out. And Elder, she made a comment. She said that Mary was the very first responder. I preached a sermon and I laugh every time, because there was another mother who sat up front, and I said there was 11 grown men hiding after Jesus Christ died, and they saw that the tomb was open, and it was a woman evangelizing that Jesus Christ has risen. The 11 grown men that walked with him, that talked to him, that had a relationship with him that nobody else had, were hiding. And there were women outside evangelizing, letting people know that he arose. And what people really don't understand is that when Christ was to be born, the first person to start the ministry was a woman, because John the Baptist had to be born first. So Jesus' ministry started with a woman. Mm-hmm. It started with a woman. It did. With a woman. Mary turned to these 11 disciples and said, "Did you not hear what he said? He said he's returning." So if the women had enough faith and boldness to go out and preach the gospel, why are we in the way? Why are there so many rules? And these aren't even doctrinated rules. These are man-made rules in the way of what God ordained. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Last time I checked, Deborah was a judge. Was not even supposed to be a judge, but the man that had the position gave her the title.
The man she was with was a punk. Oh, sorry.
I was about to get there. And let's be so honest. I mean, as quiet as kept, the reason and the sole reason why the woman of God has been so fervent over the church is because there has been men who won't go to the rightful position. And let's just be clear. Let's just be completely honest. There's some punk men out there who haven't took in their seat. And every single time, God says, I got a daughter who will take the mantle. every single time I got a daughter that would take the mantle. And he started in the Garden of Eden. The ministry started with a woman. He said, your seed is going to change the world. The ministry started with the woman. While we were supposed to work the land that's cursed, the seed of the woman is supposed to save us. So I just stand in awe with what God is doing, how God is using, his daughters in this time. I'm a father of two beautiful young ladies, and I just see the anointing of God all over them, and it blows my mind to see how God uses my daughters differently, even at their young age, 13 and 5. And I have to believe that there's no limitations on their lives, that they're not bound by anything, that they are free to do whatever God called them to do. And I'm going to walk in that freedom, and I'm going to allow them to see that they are free to walk in whatever calling God chooses them to do. And I'm not going to let no tradition of man bound them, because they are free in Jesus' name. And this is the mentality that we have to put on all our daughters, all the women of God. You have no limits. No limits. You can lead a nation. You can lead a nation. All right. We are at the 9:45 mark. And at this time, I call this the most important part of the show, because this is where we introduce someone to Christ. This is where we lay out the altar and we let somebody know who's listening. Hey, if you want to receive Christ Jesus as your personal Savior, this is the perfect opportunity. Now, it is so simple. The Bible says you can believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. This is a confession. What are you confessing? You are confessing first that you believe that Jesus died on the cross. Not only that he died, but he raised for your sins, and he is coming back for you. Then you have to let him be Lord of your life. And you also have to say, Father, I repent for my sins. Come into my heart. Cleanse me. Make me a new creature. If you honestly believe right now, and if you are listening and you honestly believe that you have repented, that you have asked him to come into your life, to be the Lord over your life, and you asked him to cleanse your heart, if you made that confession and you believe that he died and rose for your sins and is coming back for you, you are saved. Right now, you may have made a confession, and you may feel something. Something may overwhelm you. Something may overtake you. And I believe that the Holy Spirit may fall on you and overtake you, and your emotions may get to you, and there may be something happening right now. But even if you don't get that feeling, it is still a confession. It is what you believe in your heart and what comes out of your mouth. And if you confess, you are still saved. All right? And also, here's the coolest part about this whole thing. The Bible says when one person gets saved, heaven rejoices. So right now, the angels are throwing a party because you got saved. It's amazing. So we are going to pray. And after prayer, we all three of us believe that somebody has received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Amen. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for what you are doing. You opened the door. You are opening the door for your children to see your face. God, you have been so good to us in these past years, and you've been there for us. And God, even when things are hard, you are still there. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you cleanse us, that you reach us, that you talk to us, God, that you begin to be a part of our daily routine, God, that you get acclimated in our lives, God, and we open the space, God. We take away the things that are idle, and we put you ahead of all. Now, God, there's a soul out there who's looking for you. There's a soul out there who wants to know you, God, and who wants to have a relationship with the Savior. And maybe they're not sure how to do it, how to have it, God. But right now, God, I ask that you begin to renew their mind, that you give them peace. But you also whisper in them, that you also instill something inside of them. Let them reach out. But God, reach out to them. Let them see who you are. Because we know you as an awesome God. We know you as a provider, as a healer. We know you as a deliverer. And there's somebody out there waiting for that experience. And we believe it. So in Jesus' name, we declare that nations are being saved, that homes are being filled, that somebody is getting their peace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Brother Rob, you will have the announcements, and after the announcements, we are going to get that selection.
All right.
Brother Rob, are you
amen,
with us?
Amen. That sounds great. So let me go ahead and see the announcements. This is the Product Purpose Kingdom Network. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's episode. No matter where in the world you are, we thank you, and we appreciate your listenership and your support by letting your friends and family know that we are on our Purpose Kingdom Network by sharing our upcoming advertisements. If you want to contact us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can contact us via email at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. You can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We gladly honor that. You can also let us know if you turn your life over to Christ, and we gladly share that with others. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. We're also on Facebook, where you can like us on Facebook, and you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements at Purpose Kingdom. Anytime you want to hear any of our past broadcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. We can just simply type in the host name or the show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. Tomorrow evening, we will be on at 8 p.m. hour. And just note the time difference. We're going to be on at 8 p.m., and it's going to be by Faith for Good, hosted by Minister Bernard Merrill. And once again, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 8 p.m. hour for By Faith We Good, hosted by Minister Bernard Merrill. Also, you know, we have coming events, and so please stay tuned to our Purpose Kingdom Facebook page, where you'll see some of our changes and our upcoming announcements. With that being said, Reverend Burgess, I want to hand the program back over into your hands.
All right. Thank you, sir. We are just blessed to have our special guest. Evangelist Frazier, like I said, we heard about you. We heard that you can sing, and it would just be a blessing to us if you just give us a selection. Can you do that for us, please? Yes, sir. A quick selection, and just bless us real quick. All right. Awesome. All right. We are definitely waiting. Elder, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. I wonder if Elder, if Evangelist hung up on us by accident.
I'm not sure, but you ain't going to get me to sing.
Hello? I didn't hang up. It just clicked right off. I didn't even touch it. I said, let me put it over on the other side of the bed so I don't even touch it by mistake.
All right. You sing it for us, please.
Okay.
All right.
I have the faith that sees the invisible.
expect the incredible, receive the impossible, faith that can conquer anything, faith that uproots my problems, faith to know God can solve them, faith to vision my freedom. I have the faith that can conquer anything. Faith to reach the unreachable. Faith to fight the unbeatable. Faith to remove the unmovable. Faith that stands the invincible. Faith that can conquer anything. Faith that can fight the unbeatable. Faith to remove the unmovable. Faith that stands the invincible. Faith that stands the invincible. Faith that can conquer anything. Faith that sees the invisible. Faith that expects the incredible. Faith that stands the invincible. Faith that sees the impossible. Faith that can conquer anything.
Wow. Oh, woman of God, we bless you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you so much for just blessing us. You are a light. I'm telling you, you are a light. God has so much in store for you. The work has barely started. There's so much more on your journey. I believe that God is sending just his anointing to just refurbish and replenish you. We believe for your healing. We believe for your blessing. There's so much more in store for you. You have been a light to so many people. You have been a blessing to so many people. And your reward is coming. Oh, God, your reward is coming.
Thank you.
And we believe, we also believe that you have yet to be just a mother. There are some more women that are going to be blessed by you. There are some more women that are going to know what ministry really looks like through you. And I just feel God just moving. Elder Cooper, are you there?
I'm here.
Elder. All right, do me a favor, big favor. I want to be a blessing to Evangelist Frazier. Is there any way I can cash app you and you can make sure Evangelist gets it?
Sure.
All right, I just, there's something, just God just told me to sow a seed, and I just want to be a blessing to you. Nothing major, but I just wanted to just give, if that's okay. Elder, we're about to wrap up. Anything you want to say before we leave?
No, I think you guys have said it all tonight.
Evangelist, we're wrapping up. Anything you want to say before we leave?
This has been truly a good experience. I just thank you for the invitation.
Amen. Thank you. You are truly a blessing. God bless you. Can't wait to see you guys on the Healing Hour the week after next. Have a great night.
Jesus led. He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me. I will not lose. Step me free. I will not lose. Never want to see me down. I will not lose.